You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I don't think it would be the right thing to have a formal conference on Italian science fiction. You just can't cram everything in a half hour. And after all, I like Italian science fiction. Renaissance, well, no, I'm not here. I don't mean to say that this is a Renaissance, which means we can dismiss everything else, everything that happened before. It's been a long Renaissance. I'm not giving you the history of science fiction, of Italian science fiction, but there are so many stories that can be extracted. And some of them indeed start in the Renaissance. Italy was part of the Renaissance of utopias, produced its own utopias, just like in the 18th, 19th century, produced its own satires. There were readers of Gulliver's Travels in Italy as well. And the influence of those famous three people, Poe, Verne, and Wells, came to Italy just at the same time as everywhere else, late 19th century, early 20th century. And there was not just fiction. In the early 20th century, Italy was a very important place of film production. We are talking about silent movies, which means 10-minute reels at best, except that there were quite a lot of them, including, and I'm talking about science fiction, adventure, some space travel, very timid, at least one trip to the moon has survived. Most of this stuff has disappeared. And it was erased by the advent of fascism. Fascism ruled out science fiction and ruled out, and all this in the name of cultural nationalism. When science fiction started back after World War II, it was not nationalism. When Italian science fiction started back, it was love of the international that moved it. Maybe we can... Okay, and there were comics starting before World War II. The comic scene would still produce wonderful stories. Some people went in the 60s to the found work in the UK. It was Italian artists that drew the first Star Trek comics in the UK. And from the 1960s on, an Italian scene, a very solid Italian scene started. And some of the stuff was translated. Maybe not in English, but I'm pretty sure that in Eastern Europe, in Germany, in other countries, bits and pieces appeared fairly consistently. Just like European comics were translated, including Belgian, Flemish, and so on. We had a lot of those. Stories. Someone was talking before earlier about ethnic presences in American science fiction comics. Well, in at least two of the people, of the pioneers of Italian science fiction in the 40s, 50s, were of non-Italian origin. A Ukrainian writer called Giorgio Scherbanenko, famous in hard-boiled crime, but wrote quite a few science fiction, at least two novels, and quite a lot of shorter fiction. And there was a guy of Lebanese origin who eventually became a playwright in Neapolitan dialect. Sami Fayad published at least two novels. And people looking for lost history, people trying to retrieve, if someone in Italy tries to retrieve women's presence in science fiction, they will have a lot of surprises. Starting with a novel that was an adventure, an interplanetary adventure novel, published, if I remember correctly, in 1944, that was actually pulped, disposed of by fascist authorities because it was, and that was a woman, a journalist called Ada Pellacani, and a number of women were in published science fiction in the 50s and early 60s, usually with a foreign byline. Okay, popular, serious. Didn't like Italian names on the cover. That happened in a number of places. Italians are ashamed, a little ashamed of this period. Well, because it seems to be something bad. But then again, I know of at least one Australian science fiction writer who used an Italian byline. And, of course, in England, Vargo Staten was a famous name. A guy called John Russell Fearn published a huge amount of science fiction with this Finnish-like name. What happened after this pioneering period? The market was obviously not very strong for novels. Big publishers refused to invest in Italian authors. Short story, the short form became the only available form market. So I am actually involved. COVID has slowed down the project, but there is an ongoing project of an anthology in English of Italian science fiction short stories from the 50s and the 60s for an American press. So maybe some of this stuff will have a bit more exposure, hopefully next year. Hard science fiction, soft science fiction, a number of different writers tried their hands in the short format. I'm not sure if anyone who is not Italian has read the Italian authors, but Italian authors were, France was very friendly to Italian authors, Germany as well, and Eastern Europe. For some reason, I don't know, Russian, Romanian, Polish, many Italian authors found translations there. The humanistic Italian tradition found its own way into science fiction. One name, if you wish, Lino Aldani, was a very strong presence. Italy was gathering point, one of the gathering point in the European scene in the 60s, especially thanks to a science fiction festival in Trieste, which was a place where people from both sides of the Iron Curtain would meet. So you would find Harry Harrison and Jim Blish and Arkady Strugatsky and Tarkovsky and so on, in different forms and genres. And then Italy, in the late 60s, had its own version of the new wave. Hallucinatory mindscapes, other with Italian settings. I'm thinking of generations, which is as far as I am willing to go. We had in the late 80s, in the 90s, Italy's own version of cyberpunk. What do we have? What we are now? Well, maybe we don't have a dominant group, school, subgenre. Well, just like anywhere else. I wouldn't say there is a specific kind of cutting-edge science fiction, but Italian science fiction comprises a higher number of women writers. I would say, but all the trends are around ecology, environment, post-human, dystopias, young adult, science fiction, historical fantasies, time travels, perhaps, of course, at least in France, Valerio Evangelisti was an important name, has been an important name. So he inspired many. This applies to every kind of writer, specialized writers, but also people coming from high literature, from other more respectable genres, have published and keep publishing, science fiction. Of course, some of the very little of this has appeared into English, and in recent years, translations have not been great. Again, this is where I would like to. Well, to ask you if you've heard, read what in your, do you have any experience, if you're, those of you who are not Italians, who are not Italian, any experience, some experience of Italian science fiction, in whatever genre. Okay, we are mostly Italian, I would suspect. Then I would... I'm sorry? Okay. Okay, and that's one... hint many of us should take, being present abroad. For whatever reason, Italians have tended not to seek other markets. A Dutch writer won a Hugo Award a few years ago, but you would see him in English and American and European events, and so on. On the other hand, traditions like Chinese and Japanese have found local promoters, local supporters. So Italians living in the US or in the UK and so on, obviously are not reading Italian science fiction, even though there are a few Italian-American writers. So that's my... Oh, and by the way, this happened in comics. Marvel Comics, DC are filled with wonderful Italian artists, and one of the guests of honor here, this event, is Maurizio Manzieri, who has been working regularly for English and American magazines and book publishers for more than you would admit, or I would admit. So But then my only message in a bottle here is if somehow the two ends of the market find a way to connect, well, I would say there is a lot. Not a huge amount, but quite a few novels and quite a few anthologies could open up a way for, of course, my point is the Renaissance science fiction is yet to come. Of Italian science fiction is yet to come. There's so much good stuff around, it can only get better. Of course, if someone invests in it, time and money, time, energies, and money. I have to go in 10 minutes to the other room, so, upstairs. So if we, if someone has final remarks, comments, this is the right time. No. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for the half of the conference, of the scheduled conference. I'm sure Francesco will make himself heard. Gino. Well, my name will be someone whom we do know will never go anywhere because she's a very reclusive, that doesn't go to Italian. So 2 years ago we had Clelia Farri. Some of her stuff has been translated, I think, in Strange Horizons. At least I'm aware of at least one of them in Strange Horizons. Clelia Farri is very much in the women's and feminist traditions from Ursula Le Guin on, and giving her own, you can say, posthuman slant. And I think she would definitely resonate the field as it is perceived in a place like the US. That just not. But then, you know, if you cast the net, the public will tell you which one. That's the one. It's one of these, it's kind of vicious circle. To widen the number, to widen the offer, you need a demand. Who knows? Who knows? Let's give them a chance to choose. I would say we have space opera, we have dystopias, so much of it. So we have psychological writers. So you wanted one name, and you forced. You probably already knew the answer is someone in one of my other capacities. I had a hand in one of her earliest novels. In the editing. Maybe Dario, of course, Dario Tonani, kind of halfway steampunk-ish space opera. Why not? Okay, two. That's more than enough.
Thank you.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafidi, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificast.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Allarme rosso, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigate.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì. Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
85%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 posizionato.
Big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.